Hi, it's Ian Pickus, and we're back in the Congressional Corner today with our buddy Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University poll and professor of political science. I have to imagine you're feverishly updating your syllabus the last few weeks in America, huh?
Absolutely. In fact, part of me is tempted, and this would be a bad impulse, to wait another 3 weeks. We start classes in about 3.5 weeks, because who knows what will happen. Syllabi are living documents, I tell the students, and they are subject to revision. Having said that, there couldn't be a better time to study politics than right now.
Do you think young people will be more engaged than in some elections this time around?
I think they will be more engaged than they would have been a few weeks ago. And we see that in some of the early polling. A rematch of President Biden and former President Trump just was not igniting a lot of enthusiasm in the 18 to 24 age group. And having a switch at the top of the Democratic ticket with President Biden stepping back and Kamala Harris, the vice president, emerging, I think has excited young people. We're seeing a surge, a small surge in fairness, but an uptick in interest in voter registration in states across the country. All of a sudden, because the dynamics of the race have changed so much, young people are perking up and they're much more curious about the race now.
I've heard a lot of Democrats saying that they have made a negative a positive by dropping the oldest candidate ever and replacing him with Kamala Harris, and now they're facing the oldest candidate on the ballot. Do you think that argument will help them?
It is an argument that they should use with great care and caution, because it's very easy to point out that this was an issue that the Democrats faced until very, very recently. They have so many other ways that they can draw contrasts between Vice President Harris and former President Trump that to zero in on the age issue doesn't buy them a whole lot. And from an objective standpoint, the more former President Trump is out there with his rallies, and should he decide to engage in another debate, the proof will be in the pudding. It'll be in available for all to see. It's not as if the Democrats have to do a lot of work in that area to point out former President Trump's advanced stage, shall we say.
So this election obviously has put a spotlight on the importance of your number two choice when you're running for president. President Biden faced Kamala Harris in the 2020 primary and then picked her to be his running mate. And now we fast forward a few years, and just before November, he's got to step aside under some pressure, and Kamala Harris is now the standard bearer for Democrats. So with that in mind, what do you make of the choices Harris has right now? And, you know, we're told that a selection of her number two is pretty imminent at this point.
Yes, it is. They have some time pressures. Although the Democratic National Convention doesn't begin until August 19th, individual states have deadlines to prepare their ballots. And so the DNC has concluded that Vice President Harris really has to make a choice by August 7th. And in particular, although this has been discussed a fair amount, it is in part to meet a deadline in Ohio, which right now is not within reach of the Democrats, but they would sure love to put it in place. So they want to make sure that they're on the ballot there. So we've got this array of candidates. The Harris campaign has not put out a definitive list, but media reporting has identified Oh, anywhere from 6 to 10 contenders. The media are focusing on a handful, though, and it's useful to talk through them. The big three that seem to be occupying the Harris campaign's attention the most, according to the press, are Senator Mark Kelly from Arizona, former astronaut, husband of Gabby Giffords, the former House member who was shot and severely debilitated, and has come back as a strong advocate for gun reform measures. Kelly potentially puts Arizona back in play. Arizona was slipping away from President Biden, and he to put Arizona back into play would give Vice President Harris some flexibility in her path to 270. Kelly's also a strong advocate of tighter border control, and he would shore up the Democrats' weakness on immigration. And so he is an appealing candidate. Also, Governor Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania. Shapiro, a former attorney general, has won statewide in Pennsylvania multiple times, including by a pretty comfortable margin in 2022 when he was elected to his first term as governor. He would put Pennsylvania's 19 electoral votes back in play, which would be a critical part of the 270 that Vice President Harris needs. All of these candidates have downsides. None are going to be perfect. Shapiro has voiced support for school vouchers. He has been a supporter of Israel and the Israel-Gaza conflict. So the left wing of the Democratic Party has some qualms about Shapiro. In addition, we've got Governor Andy Beshear of Kentucky. He's term limited. He's in his second term. He's from a storied political family. His father was governor of Kentucky as well. Beshear has taken it to the vice presidential nominee for the Republican Party, J.D. Vance, coming from the same part of the country, questioning Vance's authenticity and talking about the experiences of the white working class in Appalachia. He has been deployed as a surrogate for Vice President Harris on television and on the campaign trail. We also have Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota, who has emerged as an interesting candidate, sort of a counterbalance, two-term governor, former member of Congress, former high school social studies teacher. Let's hear it for social studies. He's been very effective as a surrogate for Harris, coined the phrase that the Republicans are weird, which has become a significant talking point, even for the vice president when she's out on the campaign trail. One weakness, he was slow to respond to the protests in the Twin Cities after the murder of George Floyd in 2020.
Right, that's
As
his
I
state.
mentioned, yes, and as I've mentioned, each of these candidates, someone's going to find something to complain about, and the Republicans will absolutely target these weak points. But these are some of the top candidates. In the next tier, we would put the Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, ran for president in 2020, has what Politico calls a Midwestern nice way of delivering attacks to the Republicans, and has distinguished himself doing that. And the Governor Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan is also spoken of in this context, although she has insisted she's in her second term and that she plans to serve a full term. That would be an intriguing possibility. Again, Michigan is part of that storied blue wall with Pennsylvania and Wisconsin that could provide an important path for Vice President Harris to those 270 electoral votes. So she's got and then one more, lest I forget, Roy Cooper, governor of North Carolina, also term limited. North Carolina, Donald Trump won it just by 1.3 points in 2020. Cooper has won statewide multiple times as attorney general and as governor. To put North Carolina's 16 electoral votes back in play would be quite valuable as well. So a lot of choices for Vice President Harris here.
So just in the minute we have left in today's conversation, here's a question, and I'm glad you brought up North Carolina, because I remember Senator John Edwards in 2004 joining the Kerry ticket and not carrying his home state. Does this conventional wisdom about adding a vice presidential candidate from a state to deliver that state actually work out on Election Day?
The evidence is mixed, and one could argue it's really situational. The issue with Edwards, he was at the end of his first term in the United States Senate, the first and only public office he had held. The contrast there with someone like Cooper, he's won statewide multiple times. He's very well known, very well liked. There are no guarantees. One could argue Josh Shapiro has won multiple times in Pennsylvania. He could help there. Gretchen Whitmer has won twice in Michigan. Yet if we look to Andy Beshear in Kentucky, it would take more than Beshear on the ticket to flip Kentucky. That's, no one's talking about expanding the map to Kentucky for the Democrats. So it's situational. It depends on the individual, their resume, and just how well the voters in their state know them and support them.
We've been speaking with Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University poll and professor of political science. Always a pleasure, Tim. And when we come back the next time, let's talk about the Republican side.
Sure.